Psalm 33. Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise the fifth, the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his works is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsels of the Lord stand forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of men. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, and he may deliver their souls from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart is glad in him, because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. That is Psalm 33, and if you remember, we are looking into our vision as a congregation. We're looking at our mission statement and thinking and considering what it means for us to have vision as a congregation. Here's our mission statement. Says that we are a congregation of the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America, set in a culturally diverse area of Los Angeles, California. We are dedicated to the worship of God, the teaching of historic Reformed theology, the nurture, service, and fellowship of the church, and the spread of his gospel. Now, I chose Psalm 33 because it talks about the heritage of the Lord, the heritage that he gives to his people. And as Reformed Presbyterians, we have a particular heritage that he has given us within the church, and we're going to look at that some now. So we've seen the scenario played out before. We drive past a church, and that church used to be called something like Providence Heritage Baptist Church. And there was old English letters that proclaimed the name of the congregation. And now it's something different. It's the same church. They changed the sign. They changed the name. Now it's something like Neighborhood Community Church. Same people, same church, but they change the name. Have you heard of this? This is it's a big trend today in the naming of evangelical churches. People will take a heavy name, you know, the one I gave. It's a made-up name, Providence Heritage Baptist Church. Sounds like a good church name, heavy. And they replace it with something that's less threatening. They replace it with something, like I said, Neighborhood Community Church. It just sounds warm and inviting. And it seems that a lot of people are doing this today. And I'm not meaning to cast judgment on churches that are named Community Church. That's as fine of a name as any other, but it seems to be part of an overarching trend that seems to be that people are hiding their denominations. People are hiding the particular heritage that they have been given because they think that they will have a bigger impact on society if that is hidden. Now, like I said, it sounds warm and welcoming to do this, and I'm all about warmth. I'm all about being a welcoming church. I think these are good things, but I don't think that as we begin to think about vision for the community, vision for us as a congregation, and our role in those things, I don't think that we need to hide this fact, who we are. We don't need to hide the fact that we are Reformed Presbyterians. Now, our mission statement, as I read, begins with these words: we are a congregation of the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America. Now, I'm glad that's there. I'm glad that it's there in our mission statement on the forefront, because it means something to be a part of the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America. I think that as we think about vision, as we think about what our role is as a congregation, this is the heritage that God has given us. As Psalm 33 talked about the heritage, and our heritage in the Lord is to be here working as a congregation of the Reformed Presbyterian Church. And I think that it is a valuable asset as we think about ministry and as we think about talking to our friends and our neighbors and unbelievers about the Lord Jesus Christ and about our particular congregation. Now, I think that sometimes we find ourselves in this mindset where we think, you know, people wouldn't want to join a Reformed Presbyterian church because we're a little different. Have you ever noticed that we're a little different? Let's face it, we're a little different. And it's not a bad thing. It's not something that is a hindrance to us, but it's not a hindrance to us to be Reformed Presbyterian, and it's actually a valuable asset. Now, people come into our worship and they realize that it's a little different, and we have to explain often, you know, why we sing psalms and why we don't use instruments. And sometimes that is too big of a hurdle for people. Now, I've also heard that the way that Reformed Presbyterian churches grow is by bringing in other Reformed people that believe in the regulative principle, and that's our primary way to grow. I don't think that's fair. I think that's an unfair statement to make, to say that our particular niche for growth is basically stealing people that have come to our conclusions. So there's some criticism as to whether it's a valuable asset in our mission to be a member of the Reformed Presbyterian Church. But I'm telling you that we can use this asset to our advantage. We can take the fact that we are Reformed Presbyterian, and we don't have to be ashamed of that. We can say that this is a good heritage from the Lord, and that God will bless that heritage. Now, I want to look at three ways that this heritage of being a congregation of the Reformed Presbyterian Church will serve as an asset to our vision. And Lord willing, you'll be able to take these things that we're discussing, put them in your toolbox, and as you talk to friends and neighbors and different people that you talk to, you'll be able to pull these tools out and use them for discussion. Now, the first reason that being Reformed Presbyterian is an asset to our vision is doctrinal. Doctrinal. Now, there are doctrines in the RPCNA that make the RPCNA a beautiful branch of the Church of Christ. Now, you may think that this is where I'm going to talk for the next 15 minutes about singing psalms or not using instruments, but that's not what we need to talk about. We can talk about that some other time. And, of course, we could also say, well, this is where he's going to talk about the 5 points of Calvinism, and he's going to talk about what it means to be Reformed. And it's good to be Reformed. It's good that we believe the 5 points. But that's not what I'm talking about either. We're talking about being part of the RPCNA. Now, so we understand that this doctrine of ours is beneficial. So how is it beneficial? How is being doctrinally Reformed Presbyterian beneficial? Now, the first way is that we're confessional. Confessional. Now, somebody may think, you know, Pastor, that's kind of boring. You know, don't you have something better to give us than we're confessional? It sounds so old. It sounds really dusty. But, you know, we can claim to be confessional and put it in a light that is attractive to people today. Now, let me explain that. I think that it's a great aid to our mission and not a hindrance that we're confessional. And I'll tell you why. Because people are able to actually see what we believe. People are able to look at our standards and say, oh, this church believes here, here, and here. And we believe this. Now, people are looking for churches that are stable, right? They're not looking for churches where 1 week the pastor is singing or promoting hymnody and the next 6 months he changes it and he wants a praise band or something to that effect. People are looking for stability in churches. And we can say, look, we're stable. This is what we believe. And it does not change very easily. So being confessional, we have this set of standards and it means something to us. Now, it also does something else for people who may be looking into a church or investigating a church. It also shows transparency. It shows transparency that we're confessional. If we have our book, now I went and got mine this morning because I wasn't sure if we had to read an edict or not, so I checked. We can say, here's what we believe, and we can look at this, and we can be real transparent. Here, you can check this out for yourself. We believe that this is what the scriptures teach, and here it is. And as we take doctrinal transparency, and as that works out in our lives, we see that the members of a church that is to be transparent should also be transparent. And people are looking for that, aren't they? People are looking for people that they can talk to and not feel as though they're hiding something. And we should use that as an asset in our vision. Now, another doctrinal way that our vision can be benefited is the fact that we are Presbyterian. Now, being Presbyterian means that we believe in accountability and we believe in protection. Now, I can't stand up here and just preach whatever I want to preach. I can't come on a Lord's Day and open World Magazine and read the article and then just talk about what the article said. I don't have permission to do that. I am bound to the scriptures, and I must preach what the scriptures say. So I can't do the World Magazine thing. I read World Magazine every week, but I couldn't come up here and just expound World Magazine to you. I'm accountable to preach the Word of God, and I have elders that are to keep me accountable to that. And if they decide that what I'm preaching is not biblical, then they're free to take me to presbytery and to discuss whether it's biblical or not. And if the presbytery has questions, the presbytery is free to take that to synod, right? We understand that that's how it works in in our system. So as Presbyterians, we're bound to the Word of God and we're accountable to higher courts than just the preacher. Now, why this is important is because as you all talk to friends and neighbors about your congregation, and as you talk to unbelievers about the faith, you are able to say, when people come here and become members of this church, they have protection. They're protected. And we don't see it played out every day. And that's a good thing. You rarely want to see the protection of your session or the protection of your presbytery being played out. But people are protected. If people are wronged, if people are wronged by the pastor, or if people are wronged by the session, there's higher courts that people are accountable to. And as a member of this church, people are free to lodge those complaints, aren't they? Now, it may just sound like something that is a side note. We're Presbyterian, but it's something important, and it's something that you can use to talk to people about. We're Presbyterian, and we believe in accountability, and we believe that people are to be protected. People's lives are to be protected even by the church. Now, there's a lot of people today that are hurting people, right? Hurting people. You talk to your neighbors, you talk to different people that you meet throughout the week, and it's very common to come into contact with people that are hurting, and hurting very badly. People that have difficulty trusting. You know, we can think of maybe women that have difficulties trusting men, or children or teenagers that have difficulties trusting any authority figures or adults, and even Christians that have been hurt by congregations. People have a hard time trusting, and they need to know that there's protection within a Presbyterian framework for them, that there's trust, there's accountability, and there's protection. Now, another aspect of our vision under this doctrine section is that we're reformed. Now, again, I'm not talking about the 5 points of Calvinism, or I'm not talking about all the aspects that make up Reformed theology, but just this understanding of we are reformed. And I don't want to talk to you, like I said, about the 5 points or about those things, but I want to tell you about a movement that is going on right now. And some of you may know about this movement, and some of you may not, but there are thousands of young evangelical Christians that are leaving their mega churches and leaving their evangelical churches, and they're coming into the Reformed faith by the thousands. And the reason that I'm so confident in saying that they're coming in by the thousands is because there was a book recently published called Young, Restless, and Reformed. And this book chronicles this movement of young men and women that are finding the truths of the Reformed faith and leaving evangelical churches and leaving congregations so that they can find Reformed churches. They're discovering the truths of the Reformation through books. You know, we've heard of like Banner of Truth Trust and Sola Deo Gloria and Reformation Heritage and Ligonier. And these people are reading these books, and they're listening to the White Horse Inn, and they're reading Reformed blogs, and their mind is shifting towards Reformed theology. And as that shift happens, often these people exit their evangelical churches. Now, remember, we're just talking about this one aspect of our vision, the fact that we are Reformed Presbyterian. I'm not saying that our main vision should include just welcoming in disgruntled evangelicals. But this is an aspect of our mission as Reformed Presbyterians, that we have the ability to welcome in these people, these young Christians that are coming into the Reformed faith. And of course, as we bring them in, we also need to be prepared and we need to be equipped. because my generation, Generation X, and the following generation, Generation Y, we've got a lot of baggage as a generation, an awful lot of it. A lot of people, even my age, I'm in my 30s, and people younger than me, mid-20s, they don't have it together yet. They're not quite adults. The term that I've heard for it that I think is kind of fun is kidult. They're kidults. And so if we're embracing this movement and welcoming these people into our churches, then we need to be willing to deal with that baggage as well that they bring. So being confessional, being Presbyterian, being Reformed, these are aspects to our doctrinal vision that's an asset to our vision as Reformed Presbyterians. Now, the second way that being Reformed Presbyterian is beneficial to our vision is historical. Historical. We have a long history, don't we? We have a long history, and that's to our advantage. When I came into the Reformed Presbyterian Church as a student of theology, one of my friends who was an RP pastor and a ninth generation Reformed Presbyterian, ninth, I can't even imagine, but a ninth generation Reformed Presbyterian, this is what he said to me. He said, "Nathan, to many of us, this church, the Reformed Presbyterian Church, is a faithful old mother and grandmother. But you have shown us that she is still a pretty hot babe." Now, that's funny. That's funny. But it's true. Just because we have this long, long history that traces hundreds and hundreds of years doesn't mean that the church doesn't have attractive aspects. We can be attracted to a church that has a long history. So what are some aspects to that history that we're able to take advantage of as a vision? Now, the first thing is that we're a martyr church, a martyr church. In the 1660s, our spiritual ancestors were persecuted in Scotland, and many of them lost their lives for what they called the Covenanted Reformation. Now, we're not going to exploit that history, and we're not going to overemphasize that history, because Christ is still working today in our midst. But this can be very beneficial to us. And the reason that it can be beneficial to us is because there are many, many hurting people in this world. There's many hurting people in this city. And we may not personally have the ability to use our own testimony and say, here's how I've suffered as much as you've suffered, or here's how my life has hurt the way that your life has hurt. Now, some of you may have that testimony, but others don't. But as a congregation, we can say, you know, we can empathize with the pain and empathize with the suffering, because as we've looked at our own history, here's what some of our people went through. And we can use that to our advantage. Now, like I said, I don't mean to exploit it, but just to use it in a pastoral way when talking to people about what it means to be Reformed Presbyterian. Now, the second aspect to our history that can serve as an asset to our vision is that we are rooted in this country's history as well. We've been here the whole time. The whole time. Steadily working towards reformation in this country for its entire existence. There are very few institutions in this country that can claim to have been here since the beginning. Now, there's a few, but not very many. Now, how does this aid our vision? Well, one thing that it does is it shows us that we have roots. A lot of people are looking for roots. People long to have roots, to feel connected to something that goes back. It's actually one of the beneficial parts of postmodernity is this desire to be planted historically as people are looking forward. And that's just a fact that people now are looking for something that's rooted. They don't want something that's rootless. They want something with old roots that is connected to the past, although something that's looking forward and something that is relevant today. So society, we have a broken society, we have a rootless society, and we're able to say, look at our roots. Now, as a Protestant church, our roots go back very far. Now, there's a number of people in Protestantism that are looking for these roots, and what they do is they go into the Eastern Orthodox Church because they say, look how far back their roots go. Probably the most famous currently is Frankie Schaefer. Frankie Schaefer left the Presbyterian Church, went into the Eastern Orthodox Church, and says, you know, look at how far these roots go. And that's really meaningful to him spiritually. Now, we're able to say, look at our roots. Look how far our roots go. Our roots go back further than this country was even around. So that's something that we can use to our advantage as we talk about what it means to be Reformed Presbyterian. Now, the third aspect is our stability through the ages. The Reformed Presbyterian Church is difficult to break up. I'm not saying I'm going to try. I'm not encouraging anyone to try. But it's difficult to divide the Reformed Presbyterian Church. And people appreciate that. People appreciate that. I have a friend that is a pastor in the PCUSA, and he's actually a pretty conservative guy. He's an evangelical Christian. He's Reformed. He reads a lot of good Reformed things. And he said, I would never go into, and then he would start naming all the groups that left the PCUSA. And there are a number of people that have that feeling that they see those groups as unstable. Now, I'm not making that claim. I'm not saying they're unstable at all. I'm not making that claim against any of them. But what I'm saying is people long to be in a denomination that has stability, in a denomination that's not going to have a split in a couple of years. Now, in the past 20 to 30 years, there's been another movement. This is our third movement we've talked about, called micro-Presbyterianism. Do you know this term? Micro-Presbyterianism. It's when 2 to 5 disgruntled pastors come together and they form their own denomination. And on paper, the attempt is to be the purest Reformed church available. And they're very small, and often people that have very high hopes doctrinally will join a micro-Presbyterian church, and they splinter, they divide, they fall apart very quickly. Now, people are looking for stability. People are looking for Reformed churches with stability. Now, here's my question. Do you know how many times in the Reformed Presbyterian Church, we're in our third century in the United States, how many church splits have we had? Nobody likes to talk about church splits, but I think it's 2. 1833 and 1890. Both of them over political reasons. Now, it's by the grace of God that we can claim such a small number in our long, long history. We're not a splintering group. We're not a group that people get upset and just leave in large amounts. It's not part of our history. And by the grace of God, we can claim that. Only by the grace of God can we claim that. we're a small group, we're a stable group, and we're a group that is able to say that by the grace of God, He has sustained us. And I think these are valuable things, things that we can pull out of our so-called toolbox and talk to people about. You know, as people are looking for stability, or as people are looking for transparency or accountability or this feeling of protection, we can use this fact of our mission statement that we're a congregation of the RPCNA to that advantage. So we've seen the doctrinal assets to our vision. We've seen the historical assets to our vision. But there's a third aspect to our vision that I think is important as well. And that is the practical aspect. There's a practical aspect that is essential to our vision as well. Now, the first under the practical is that the RPCNA is a family-focused denomination. As you go around and you visit Reformed Presbyterian churches, they're very focused on family, aren't they? They're focused on children and rearing children to the glory of God, and they're focused on having children and ministering to their children, and these are very good things. Jesus said to welcome those little ones in His name, and this needs to be a part of our vision as well. We're a denomination that promotes families, and we can use that. We can use that to our advantage. Our denomination loves families. We live in an age that is increasingly anti-family, and people are looking for places where they can bring their families and feel safe. Safe from the criticisms, safe from the complaints that the world puts on families. Children are a burden to much of society. There's something that cramps style. There's something that causes too much money to be spent. There's all these reasons that the world puts on why they don't want a lot of children around. Now, the best way the children are looked at is, you know, something to be put up with. And that's unbiblical. That's a very unbiblical mindset. And we need to be a place that is even a refuge for families that want to feel safe. And I'll tell you that in large cities, in urban areas, this is even more the case. People are increasingly individualistic in urban settings and anti-family. And we can counter that. We can be countercultural to that. You know, we joked a little bit at lunch about stuff that Lydia hears sometimes when she has the kids around town. You know, people will say, "Are all those yours?" You know, it's only four kids. It's not that big of a family. But or people will count them. You know, they'll physically count them as they walk by. But you know, friends, God loves families. God loves families, and we need to embrace this mentality as well. As part of our vision, part of being Reformed Presbyterian is practically, we love families. We love families. Now, have you ever asked yourself why the Mormon church does so well? Mormon churches are springing up all over the place, especially here in the West. I mean, they're everywhere. They're pretty much mainstream in the West. And one of the reasons that they do so well is they have these heartwarming commercials, don't they? You see a dad that comes home from work and he loves his family so much, and they just all hug and embrace, and everyone gets along, and it's these family-oriented commercials and this promotion of we are a family-oriented organization that's drawing in so many people that desire to be family oriented. So that's one aspect to the practical. Now, the second practical aspect to our vision is something that is called the 2020 vision. Have you heard of that? The Home Mission Board sets this out. It's called the 2020 vision. The 2020 vision is this desire to see 100 congregations and mission churches by the year 2020. 100. Now, this vision that the Home Mission Board and the denomination has taken on, it is supposed to be driving congregations to think about church planting, to think about it, to pray about it, to discuss the ways that this could possibly be done and how a congregation can go about church planting. Okay, it's 2010. 2020 is in 10 years. There's about there's less than 20 congregations that need to be planted in 10 years. And it's very doable. It's very doable as a goal. Now, if we think about the number of people in Southern California, and as we think about the number of people that are Christian, wonder what that percentage is. Christians, people that profess to be Christian in Southern California. I don't know. I'm sure that when you get down into Orange County, it's a lot higher than it is up in this end. And then how many are Reformed? If you had a percentage of people in Southern California that are Reformed, I'm sure it's 0.00 something. It's got to be very little. Dr. Godfrey said Friday night that if you take a whole map of the United States and looked at people that are Reformed and Presbyterian, there's only one county in the whole country that can consider themselves a Reformed county. In the whole country. Now, as we think about church planting and as we put this on maybe even the back burner for our vision at this time, we need to think about that. God desires to see churches planted. Jesus desires to see his church built. And I think that we can take this on as part of our vision. Even though we're small, we can at least begin by praying about it and asking ourselves those questions, how that can happen. You know, I've talked to some about how much I would love to see the Orange County congregation come about again. I don't say that because I want to get rid of the Heisings and the Jensens at all. But I say that because I think that here we could grow and plant there as well. When will this happen? How will this happen? Part of our vision can be this desire. I'm not saying this needs to be on the forefront of what we're doing right now, but it needs to be something that we're thinking about, praying about, discussing with one another as we think about church planting. Now, like I said, I want to think about that more at another time, and I would love to hear anyone's ideas on church planting, et cetera. Now, lastly, I think that it's important as we think about our vision and the practical aspects of our vision, we need to also think about how we are a missions-minded denomination. We see the church bigger than these four walls. We see the church bigger than our presbytery. We see the church even bigger than our own denomination. And we have a desire as Reformed Presbyterians to see churches in other parts of the world, right? We are a small denomination, but we do a lot of work in missions for our size. So how does this aid our vision? Well, the first thing is it shows people around us that our view of ministry is bigger than the people that sit here. You know, we're not here just to serve ourselves. We're not here just to serve one another, but we have a global vision as being part of the Reformed Presbyterian Church. Now, I think that many of you can say that you know this experience as well. We feel a part of Cush for Christ, don't we? Because we feel like, hey, part of us is there. And we see our vision bigger than just here. And there's part of us see ourselves as part of Cyprus as well, or part of Japan, or part of these other missions that we're doing around the world. So I think that it's important to have that on the forefront of our vision, because what it says to people, hey, we're not inward looking. We're not people that are just here to selfishly be served, or we're not here just because it is what people do on Sunday mornings. We're here because we believe in a mission, and that mission is one that goes to all parts of the earth, and it's good and it's God glorifying. So we've seen doctrinally, through being confessional, through being Presbyterian, through being Reformed, and we have seen institutionally that being a martyr church is a great part of our history. We have seen that being rooted in U.S. history is to our assets, and having stability as a denomination is an asset. And practically, we've seen being family-oriented is an asset. We've seen the 2020 vision, and we have seen being missions-minded. Now, these are all great ways that normally aren't thought of when we think about what it means to be Reformed Presbyterian. You know, we could talk about all the aspects of the Westminster Standards, and we can talk about 5 points of Calvinism, and we can talk about regulative principle of worship, and all of those things are good. But these are just other things that we can add to our toolbox when thinking about what it means to be Reformed Presbyterian and how we can use that in our vision. So what we're doing, we're developing vision here, aren't we? That's the goal. That's the intention. And we're trying to think biblically about these things. And we're trying to see some of the ramifications of what it means to have vision. Because we desire to see Christ build his church. That's the essential. You know, when I came here a year ago, that's what I started with. Christ will build his church. And I believe that. And we will keep hearing that, and we'll keep talking about it, and we'll keep seeing Jesus Christ working to do that. God glorifying means for how he will build his church. So being Reformed Presbyterian, it doesn't have to be seen as something strange or something that may hinder our vision as a congregation, but it's being part of something bigger than ourselves, and something that is going to help us direct our identity and our vision as a congregation. Amen.